strangely, I knew him in a way for a lifetime because when I was training for ministry at a place called Cuddeston College near Oxford, Michael was, they used in those days to be the really bright student, went straight from being a student to being a member of staff. And in my era, Michael was the bright student. He and his wife, Lou, and their family, they were very much part of college life and energetic and very inclusive people, and benefited enormously from him being my mentor, if you like, at that stage of my life. And then I went off into the ministry for the next sort of 35 years. And then suddenly I turned up as his dean at the cathedral. And we sort of, I think, just started from where we left off. And we got on enormously well. And I always felt I could tell him everything and we could discuss it. And he'd always be understanding and helpful and encouraging. Just a great person to work with.
You mentioned how energetic and inclusive he was. Do you think that's what made him such a popular and well-respected bishop here in Winchester?
I think that the overriding virtue Michael had was his pastoral care, and it didn't matter who you were or really where he was in terms of, worrying about administration or, worrying about doctrine, worrying about holding the Church of England together and all, the Anglican Communion together and so on. If someone was in pastoral care or extremist, that took priority. And I think it's that side of him which I will certainly remember. And, around the cathedral, people really thought they knew him and he was their friend. And he knew them by name and he'd meet them in the street. And people would often say to me, I'm only a member of the congregation. I'm surprised he's even noticed I exist, let alone know my name, then asking me how the children are. I suppose people in the cathedral noted that one word was often in his mouth, that was Congo. And he had a great love for Africa, but particularly, I think, for the Congo, because he was very supportive of the church there. Which has lived through civil war and all sorts of terrible events and tensions, and he also was aware, I think, just the terrible plight that civil war and militia hunting around put people through, and so in many ways his sort of pastoral care for the individual came out also absolute pastoral concern for the people of Congo. And I often thought, if they had a discussion in the House of Lords on the situation in Africa, probably Bishop Michael knew as much as anybody if it came to talking about the Congo.
I mean, in terms of sort of more national church affairs, he certainly was a bishop who wasn't afraid to speak his mind, even if he knew that his views weren't going to be particularly popular. But do you think that made people respect him more because he didn't shy away from big issues?
Yes, I think it did. I mean, as in politics, so in the church, if you've got to, if you're a bishop and you're a member of the House of Bishops and you've got to speak up in debates in General Synod, people are polarised, I suppose, and there were issues which is, as you say, would have, Michael would have been very pro ordination of women, very pro women in the episcopate. He was much more cautious about gay matters, and that, and of course that is a very polarised thing, both in our society and in the church. And I suppose that did get him into choppy waters. And if you read his obituaries and so on, you do realise there were, you can't be a leader without choppy waters. And I think you can't have a debate unless you have people on both sides. So it's important there are people with that courage. But I say, that the man was really the compassionate person, I would say, and that's what. And if he was having a debate with somebody and disagreed with them, the thing he'd want to do is to care for them as well.
And so, to the service itself for his funeral, do you think it'll be in some ways a celebratory occasion, celebrating his life and everything he did for this area and for the church nationally?
Yes, I think the decision's been made that the colour is gold, not purple. Yes, I mean, there's a great, obviously, pain in his loss. We had a reading from the Acts of the Apostles about St. Paul saying goodbye to Christians at Miletus and saying to them, you'll never see my face again, and they took him to the ship. And there is a bit of a sense, obviously, of taking him to the ship. I suppose that we are having to say farewell, and there is a parting, and that's huge sadness. And you know, he might have hoped to have more time in retirement with family and grandchildren and so on. But judging by we're thinking that the cathedral, I mean, Winchester's huge as a cathedral, is not going to be big enough to cope with everybody. So that I think the people who are coming will want to celebrate a life well-lived and well-loved, and incredibly faithful.